Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're starting the Canto 9, Chapter 8, and we'll be reading text 1 through 11, and text 11 has the purport. So I'll just read through the translations. Text 1, Sukadev Goswami continued, the son of Rohita was Harita, and Harita's son was Kampa, who constructed the town of Kampapuri. The son of Kampa was Sudeva, and his son was Vijaya. Text 2. The son of Vijaya was Baruka. Baruka's son was Vrika, and Vrika's son was Bahuka. The enemies of King Bahuka took away all his possessions, and therefore the king entered the order of Vanapras and went to the forest with his wife. Text 3. Bahuka died when he was old, and one of his wives wanted to die with him, following the Sati rite. At that time, however, Urva Muni, knowing her to be pregnant, forbade her to die. Text 4. Knowing that she was pregnant, the co-wives of the wife of Bahuka conspired to give her poison with her food, but it did not act. Instead, the son was born along with the poison. Therefore, he became famous as Sagara, one who was born with poison. Sagara later became the emperor. The place known as Ganga Sagara was excavated by his sons. Text 5 and 6. Sagara Maharaj, following the order of his spiritual master, Urva, did not kill the uncivilized men like the Talangjungas, Yavanas, Shakas, Haihayas, and Barbaras. Instead, some of them he made dress awkwardly. Some of them he shaved clean, but allowed to wear mustaches. Some of them he left wearing loose hair. Some he half-shaved. Some he left without underwear. And some without external garments. Thus, these different clans were made to dress differently, but King Sagara did not kill them. Text 7. Following the instructions of the great sage Urva, Sagara Maharaj performed Ashvamedha sacrifices and thus satisfied the Supreme Lord, who is the Supreme Controller, the Supersoul of all learned scholars, and the knower of all Vedic knowledge, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Indra, the king of heaven, stole the horse meant to be offered at the sacrifice. Did I read that? Okay, text 8. Is that right? Text 8, is that right up there? Sumatyastanaya. Sumat. 11. Oh, 11. I'm going to 11. Oh, I'm sorry. King Sagara had two wives, Sumati and Keshini. The sons of Sumati, who were very proud of their prowess and influence, following the order of their father, searched for the lost horse. While doing so, they dug into the earth very extensively. Text 9 and 10. Thereafter, in the northern direction, they saw the horse near the ashram of Kapila Muni. Here is the man who has stolen the horse, they said. He is staying there with closed eyes. Certainly he is very sinful. Kill him, kill him. Shouting like this, the sons of Sagara, 60,000 altogether, raised their weapons. When they approached the sage opened his eyes. Text 11. Svasari Sva Sari Rag Nina Tavan Mahendra Rita Chaitasa Mahadvyatikramahata Bhajmasada Bhavan Shanat.
Someone like to chant?
Sva Sari Gnina Tavan Mahendra Rita Chaitasa Mahadvyatikramahata Basmasara Bhavanshanat.
Anyone?
Svasariganina Taban Mahendra Rita Chaitasa Mahadvyatikramahata Basmasara Bhavanshanat. Svasari Ragnina Tavan Mahendra Vita Chaitasa Tavat. Immediately Mahendra, by the tricks of Indra, the king of heaven, Rita Chaitasaha, their consciousness having been taken away. Mahat, a great personality. Vyatikramahataha, defeated by the fault of insulting. Basmasat, turned to ashes. Abhavan, became. Shanat, immediately. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. By the influence of Indra, the king of heavens, the son of Sagara had lost their intelligence and disrespected a great personality. Consequently, fire emanated from their own bodies and they were immediately burned to ashes. Purport. The material body is a combination of earth, water, fire, air, and ether. There is already fire within the body, and our practical experience is that the heat of this fire sometimes increases and sometimes decreases. The fire within the bodies of the sons of Sagara Maharaj became so much hotter that all of them burned to ashes. The fire's increased heat was due to their misbehavior towards a great personality. Such misbehavior is called Mahad Vyatikrama. They were killed by the fire of their own bodies because of insulting a great personality. Omagina timirandasya gananjana salakaya chaksulan militam jaina tasmai sri gurave namaha sri chaitanya manobistam stapitam jaina bhutale swaya rupa kadamayam dadati svapadandikam vanchakalpa tirubhyascha kripa sindubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha jai sri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So Dharmatma Prabhu last night asked me to give class this morning. Some of you may know there was going to be Maharaj giving class this morning, but had a very sore throat, so we had to cancel. So for those of you that came here to hear Maharaj speak, you're free to leave if you're disappointed. I am disappointed he's not speaking this morning. And actually these first 10 verses, 11 verses, they call to mind something that happened to me back when I was 19 years old. So about 50 years ago was when I began my search for God. Actually at 19 I became quite depressed. Only time in my life I ever felt so depressed. And I was raised a Catholic. So I never looked for teachers or anything. I always wanted to do by myself. So I just thought, well, all the answers were in the Bible. So I tried to find God in the Bible. But as all I found were verses just like this. This person begot that person, and this one begot that, and they begot that. And I had no idea what I was doing. Anyway, ultimately, within weeks, Srila Prabhupada, very kindly, the devotees were there in Philadelphia, so I heard the chanting and I immediately joined. Otherwise, I had no idea what to do, even though I really wanted to search out God. So, fortunately, when I met the devotees, Krishna book had just come out. So they had all the answers to our questions. I was asked a question the other day, and there's some questions I get asked over and over again. And they're all good questions, but to me the answers are very easy. The other day someone asked me if Prabhupada prepared for class. Think about that. Did Srila Prabhupada prepare to give his class, just like we're giving class today? And sometimes devotees, I know some devotees will say, they want 3-4 days just to assemble everything for classes. And of course we know Prabhupada said a devotee should be ready to, in a moment, speak. Prabhupada prepared. He was always prepared. He was always giving class. I mean, that's what he did all the time. He was always teaching us, training us, chastising us. Everything flowed with Srila Prabhupada. He prepared for class. He prepared so much for class. One evening he called me into his room in Juhu. He said, last night, he said, I had puri. Prabhupada would eat in the evening when I was with him. Puri, sabji, sandesh, hot milk, sometimes parathas. 8-9 o'clock in the evening. Then he would take light massage. Then he would take rest, 10 o'clock. And then he would get up at midnight, 1 o'clock, and start translating. So he called me in at 9 o'clock at night and he said, last night he said that puri is in sabji. He said it made it difficult for me to get up in the morning. He's talking about midnight. That's his preparation. He was so prepared that he decided he wasn't going to eat so much at night so he could get up and do his translating work. This is how a devotee thinks all the time. What do I do for my service? How do I increase my service? I've mentioned so many times, he would call me into his room, his preparation. He'd say, did you record class? Yes, Prabhupada. Play it. He said, I like that class. Because he wasn't giving the class. That's what he would say. He said, everything, it's just Krishna's words. Yeah. He was just inspired. And hopefully we all feel like that when we speak. We depend. Every day I come here, offer obeisances to Vyasa-san, Tulsi Devi, the deities, Srila Prabhupada. Give the opportunity to say something useful. This is what Prabhupada always did. Everything he said was useful. Didn't waste his time. So his preparation was always there. And he himself, he would listen to his classes. Prabhu wanted me to speak a couple Vrindavan pastimes, and I will. But one of the main things Prabhupada gave us was these books. Every day, amongst everything else he did, managing this society, he made it look so easy. When people would talk about Prabhupada, how much he did, and he did incredible things. But whenever I would look at him, he just seemed peaceful, sitting in his room, chanting rounds, reading his books, doing bhajans, just talking with his disciples, having conversations with them, just giving them some pleasure, giving them some opportunity to increase their love. But he did it also peacefully. You know, what do we say? Devotee. What's the definition of Vaikuntha? What would Prabhupada say? Without anxiety. Prabhupada had no anxiety. On the other hand, he was always in anxiety. This is our predicament in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada was always happy. He was with Krishna. And he was happy because he traveled around the world and he saw everyone chanting as the years went by. I say 1975, he traveled around the world in 2 months. And he saw what he had done. Everywhere in the world, people were chanting Hare Krishna. He did it. Sometimes he said to me, perhaps my father knew. So Prabhupada's saying a few things there. He said it to me twice and he would stop. He never said what his father knew. Perhaps my father knew. Knew that this was the person, the personality who had come to liberate the entire planet. That was Prabhupada. But when he said that, he's not only saying, perhaps my father knew, he's admitting himself what he's doing in the midst of doing it. He's telling us, perhaps my father knew. Knew what, Prabhupada? Prabhupada's saying, this is my business. It was his only business to liberate everyone. The last week I've been up there by Krishna Balaram in the evening during Damodar Ashtakam. 7,000 people, pilgrims, they come through here every night between 7 and 8:30 to offer their lamps. They go through, some of them spend a week just to get here, to 2 minutes to offer lamps to their lordships. This is what Prabhupada's given everyone. One lady last night, little lady, I'm standing and she looks at me and she's looking at the deities. She's an Indian woman, she knows. But she said, who is this, Radha Krishna? She said, this Radha Krishna? I said, Krishna Balaram. Her face just lit up. See, Krishna Balaram. I take it for granted. You know, 4:30 in the morning, go stand right up there in the front. Prabhupada's mercy. Behind there's thousands of people just looking for an opportunity to see them for a moment. We're so fortunate. All because Prabhupada gave us these books. We'll tell that. So if you've heard these stories, you'll have to hear them again. One of the things that always amazed me was seeing Prabhupada reading his books. From the first moment I thought, why is he reading his books? He wrote these books. But afternoon time was his personal time. Bhajan, chanting japa, reading his books. When I first became his servant, he said to me, you should read every day for 15 minutes and then ask me questions, any questions you have. Imagine the facility he gave me. I didn't read. I didn't. He knew it. He always knew it. 2.5 years with him, he tolerated me, accepted my service as I was running around answering the bell, doing so many things. So then one afternoon he rings the bell. When I first came, it's the first thing I did in the temple was read Krishna book every lunchtime to the devotees and then tell Krishna book stories at night. That was my service, was reading. So now after being with him for a few months, seeing his daily schedule, very regulated. So it's afternoon and the bell rings. Oh, I run in the room. I sit right there where you are. Prabhupada's behind his desk. He has his glasses. If he has his glasses on, it means he's looking in a book. Otherwise, no glasses. But he would use it for reading. So I offer obeisances. He's reading. He's reading Nectar of Devotion. His Nectar of Devotion. There weren't that many books, 1973, on Prabhupada's shelf. But he's reading Nectar of Devotion. And he calls me into the room. There's no one else there. And I sit down and he's in ecstasy reading his book. If you just read this one book, he said, you can become Krishna conscious. You don't have to read hundreds of books. He said, just this one book is enough. He said, everything's here. He said, you just read this. He said, not that you have to read so many books. He understood me. So he kept saying, just this one book you read, you can become Krishna conscious. He said, it's so nice. Prabhupada's reading it, like for the first time. Every time we read it, it's the first time. Then he put his head down. That means you can go. He didn't say, now you can go. He didn't waste words. He just put his head down. I know what to do. I've been with him a long time. He just watched body language. So I offered obeisances and left. I travel around the world. 6 months go by. It's the afternoon and he's ringing the bell. You never know what's going to happen when you go in. And he's reading again. He's reading his Bhagavad Gita, as it is. And he sees me. This book is wonderful. This book is so nice. If you just read this one book, you can be Krishna conscious. You don't have to read so many books. He's saying the exact same thing to me. He knows I'm in the other room not reading any books. But I'm with him. I'm doing his service. He said, just this one book, everything is here. He said, if you read it, you can be Krishna conscious. You read and understand. He said, everything is here. He was so excited. He had to tell someone. So he rang his bell. I'm the closest person. He just wanted to tell someone. I got to be that person. And I would always sit there and think, why is he saying this to me? I'm nobody. This is how you feel in front of your spiritual master. He's spending all this time for me. So then he said it, and then again he put his head down. I offered obeisances and left. I didn't pick up the Bhagavad Gita, start trying to find out where Prabhupada was. I just went back to my room. So then at the third time, I tell you, there's always three times with Prabhupada. If he wants to make a point, if you don't figure it out the first time, the second time, you're going to know by the third time. That's your last chance. Because three strikes and you're out. So he didn't like anyone to go out. So the third time, he's going to let you know. Ding, 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 ding. You run in the room, offer obeisances. It's always in the afternoon. 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And he's reading. He's reading Krishna book. I read that book cover to cover when I first came. I read Krishna book over and over. And he's reading Krishna book. And he's sitting behind his desk and he's, Prabhupada's in ecstasy. If you just read this one book, you can be Krishna conscious. He said. It's the same. You don't have to read hundreds of books. Just this one book, he said, everything is here. He said, this book is so nice. He said, if you just read this book, you can be Krishna conscious. But he kept staring at me. He didn't put his head back down. So I'm there. But I don't know what I'm... He's looking. He's looking at me. I never realized, and everything is personal, so personal. Everything is person. And Prabhupada even called the animals, dogs, cats, persons, he said. They're persons. No different than you and I. Then he's looking at me. You don't even have to read the whole book. He said, just one chapter. It's Krishna book, right? Every story, one story after another. 20 minutes, you're done the story. He said, you don't even have to read the whole book. He said, just one story. You read one story, he said, you can become Krishna conscious. He said, it's so nice. You don't even have to read the whole story, he said. He said, one page. If you read one page, he said, of this book, you can be Krishna conscious. And he's staring at me. He's back and look at this boy. You don't even have to read the whole page. He said one line. Prabhupada's very, he can be very dramatic, Prabhupada. One line, he's going, just one line in this book, if you read it, you can be Krishna conscious. No, I'm just, I don't say a word to Prabhupada. And he's looking at me. Just think, this fool, what am I going to do with this boy? You don't even have to read the whole line. He said one word. Just one word, he said. You read one word in this book and you can be Krishna conscious. Because Krishna's in every word. Then he put his head down and started reading again. Then I offered obeisances and ran out of the room. He was trying to make me Krishna conscious all the time. This was his mercy, his compassion on all of us. Every night, while we're sleeping very nicely, huh? Prabhupada's got his dictaphone in his hand, speaking every word so carefully for us, from Krishna. He said they're Krishna's words. So, we're in Vrindavan with Srila Prabhupada. This place is so special, because somehow or other, I ended up here, for now at least, by Krishna's mercy. We've all ended up here in this place. So it was in 1975 for the opening. So just before the opening, Prabhupada was in Mayapur, in the Lotus Building in his rooms in Mayapur. And one of the sannyasis decided he wanted, looks just like this, Prabhupada's gray chadar, gray wool chadar, called Lohi brand chadar. He had it the whole time I was with him. So he had it for about 5 years, this chadar. Went around the world on Prabhupada's shoulders, on Prabhupada's head, over and over and over. So this sannyasi, he wanted that mahaprasadam. So he devised a simple plan of buying Prabhupada this very exquisite, expensive santush chadar. If you know what santush is, you've heard of cashmere. Everybody knows cashmere. Well, then there's a whole other level of hairs that come on the chin, the under chin of the Himalayan goat. So with that, you make a santush chadar, and then they make all fancy designs, and you can pull it through a ring. It's so fine, and it's so warm. So he bought this chadar for Prabhupada. Hundreds of dollars it cost back then, 1975. And he told me about it. So now we're all in the room, darshan in the evening. And he says, Prabhupada, it's for you. This beautiful chadar he puts on the table. Oh, yes. When I was a child, my father, his good friend, worked in the cloth industry, also Prabhupada's father, and he said his business was with these chadars. He said, when I was a boy, every year I would get one. So he took it and he just threw it behind. The devotee thought it was a very special gift. That was Prabhupada. You can't do anything special for Prabhupada. This same devotee, he helped build this temple, how we all know, gave hundreds of thousands of dollars to Prabhupada. But one day in Hawaii, somebody put on the Vyasa-san a $5 bill at Prabhupada's feet. That day he gave him $20,000. That very day. So during Guru Puja, people putting fruit, somebody put a few dollars, $5. So then after class, Prabhupada's up in the room, we're all up in the room. Prabhupada's talking and talking, 10, 15 minutes go by. Finally he says, you have something for me? He had just given him $20,000. He had $5 tucked in his pocket. Prabhupada said, you have something for me? He said, huh? You have some money? $5, Prabhupada took from this boy. So whatever you did, Prabhupada would just let you know. It's not such a big deal. Don't become puffed up with your service. So, of course, his next step was to ask Prabhupada for his chadar, but now he couldn't, because Prabhupada didn't even care about this
this Santosh Chatter.
But what happened was, by association, bad or good association, I decided I wanted that chatter. I had never wanted anything of Prabhupada's, but all of a sudden, by associating with this rascal sannyasi, I wanted Prabhupada's things. So I decided I wanted his chatter. So a month went by. This was a long-term plan. And now I was a grihastha. I had a little money. So now we're in Vrindavan. Prabhupada's in his room. And I met my helper, Palika. Back then, you would go to Delhi every week to buy vegetables, fruits, whatever you needed for Vrindavan. So she went, she came back with this chatter. It just cost, I don't know, $10 or something. It wasn't expensive. But it was just like Prabhupada's. So I waited for the proper day, afternoon time. Afternoon time is, that's when you talk to Prabhupada. It's very peaceful. Shanti, shanti time. So I go in the room with this chatter. And it's March. It's still a little chilly out, you know. And I offer obeisances. Prabhupada didn't call me, and I walked in. When you go in Prabhupada's room, if he doesn't call you, he kind of looks at you like, yes? Like, yes? So, you know, Prabhupada, I just bought this chatter for myself. He said, oh, very nice. I said, but I've decided I should give it to you because it's a new chatter, my spiritual master. Prabhupada's sitting in his room, and he has the exact same thing. He has his little wall behind him and shelf. So as soon as I said it, it's just like deja vu. I said, I have his chatter. He said, oh, I have a chatter. Pointed to his chatter behind him. He knew. Prabhupada always knew. And I was very easy to read by Prabhupada, you know. So I said, yes, Prabhupada, but this is new. You're my spiritual master. I would rather you have it. No, no, no. He said, it's cold. You need a chatter. He said, I have a chatter. He kept saying, I have a chatter. He said, you can keep it. So now we're time number three. It's time for honesty. We don't start out with honesty. We start out with trickery. So now he said, all right. I looked at him. I said, Prabhupada, I said, I want your chatter. He smiled. Okay, he said. Go ahead. So I took that chatter. And it's not in his rooms now, is it? It's in my house still. I have this chatter. So that was, he was very happy to give, but he always wanted you to tell the truth. Because he already knows the truth. But you have to expose it yourself to Prabhupada. That's the process. Always wanted to know. And me, he always knew what was happening. So that was here in Vrindavan. I was telling my godbrothers when they're ready to give class. I said, very simple. I said, you just have to remember Prabhupada's sitting right there in his rocking chair and he's listening. That's what he did, right? 1974, when he was ill, for weeks recuperating, he would sit right there under the tamal tree. In his rocking chair, I'd sit next to him on the ground, and devotees would give class by Prabhupada's Vyasasan. So this was 1974. So giving class in front of Srila Prabhupada, not the easiest thing to do. Even today, it's not something I would ever want to do. Of course, we're all doing it. So Prabhupada would sit there and listen. Sometimes classes were very funny, and sometimes still classes can be interesting. But he was listening, and you could see Prabhupada's, sometimes he would move his body around, you know. And he's looking, and this devotee, he was a sannyasi, and he was the temple commander here at the time. And he was giving orders to the devotees, because people weren't coming to class, people weren't coming to Mangal Arati, Guru Puja. So he's lecturing to everyone. And some of them had excuses that they didn't understand the language. So of course he's saying it doesn't matter, it's transcendental. And so finally Prabhupada looked at me. He said,
tell him to stop. He said, tell him class should be half an hour. So that's how he got out of it. So I walked from there. I walked over. Prabhupada says, class should be half an hour. But Prabhupada didn't like what he was saying. He wasn't discussing Gita. He wasn't discussing philosophy, Bhagavatam. He was picking on everyone and their bad habits, their inability to do different things. That's not what Prabhupada wanted to hear. They speak philosophy. That was that night. So then the next night, Prabhupada's sitting there. Another sannyasi, one of his first sannyasis, he's giving class. And Prabhupada's chanting. And we're listening. I never knew what Prabhupada was thinking, but sometimes... and then all of a sudden, he stopped. And Prabhupada looked at me. He smiled. He said, well, at least it was half an hour. So what he was saying, he wasn't very happy with what he was saying, but he said at least it was half an hour. So this was Prabhupada. Imagine, he had to watch all of us, like children, trying to execute service for him, trying to do anything for him. What we say, he said, someone said, Prabhupada, we're your puppets. He said, yes, but I want you to go like this, and you're going like this. So we're always doing everything wrong. But still it worked out. His desire was so strong. Whatever Prabhupada wanted, that's what happened. And it's still what's going on. It's Prabhupada's presence here. So one thing as I travel, you have to understand, Prabhupada's always here. He left Vrindavan to give everyone Vrindavan. Just now I'm thinking more and more. Imagine Prabhupada was living here for years at Radha Damodar Temple. So happily. I can understand that now. When you're in Vrindavan, there's nothing else you have to do. When Prabhupada was here, other than the morning walk, he never left this compound. And he said that. What did he say? He has brought every...
All the tirthas.
He said he told Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he invited all the tirthas here in the Krishna Balaram Mandir. But again, the tirthas because the saintly persons are there. Prabhupada made everywhere he went a tirtha. And we see the results of that going on in our society. My Prabhupada's travels. From this verse, we can see from offenses what happens, being offensive to devotees. I'll tell one last story. This happened at Bhaktivedanta Manor. So this devotee was Prabhupada's secretary, and then after leaving India, he was GBC at the manor. And Prabhupada went there. He went there a couple times. One in spring of 1973 was the first time, just for a few days. Then he went back in the summertime. But when he went there in the spring, there were just a handful of devotees there, a dozen devotees or so. Anyway, when Prabhupada arrived, the devotees in the temple were very upset. They said the GBC visibly wasn't chanting his rounds, wasn't attending the morning program, mismanaging money, all these things were floating around in the temple atmosphere amongst the devotees. Prabhupada called it gossip. I say Prabhupada. He didn't say prajalpa, he didn't say village talk, he would say gossip when devotees speaking about others. He said this gossip, he says, destroys your Krishna consciousness. Doesn't stop it, doesn't slow it down. It destroys your Krishna consciousness. Gossip, which means talking about things that have no use for you, no value. It just doesn't bring you to Krishna. So they were talking about this devotee. He was struggling. Okay? He came in 1967. Said he was misappropriating money, spending money on himself, got a nice car to rent, and there's no money in the temple. So they were going to see Prabhupada. As soon as Prabhupada arrived, he no sooner gets to his room, the temple president and the resident sannyasi, we want to see Prabhupada. We have to deal with this. So they came in. The three of us are sitting there, offer obeisances, sit up to the temple president. So now he's been a devotee for 2 years, 3 years, which is a long time in 1973. So he immediately starts, Prabhupada, he's wasting money, spending money improperly. We know he's not chanting his rounds. Everyone knows it. Prabhupada looked at him. He said, you shouldn't criticize a senior devotee. Imagine a senior devotee. He was in the temple 2 years longer than this devotee. So Prabhupada said, you shouldn't criticize a senior devotee. He just heard his attitude. It wasn't trying to figure out how he can help this devotee. He wanted him out. And Prabhupada knew. Prabhupada always knows our consciousness. So he said, you shouldn't criticize. And then he turned away from him. He looked at the sannyasi. He said, tell him to leave. Think about that. He wouldn't even look at him. After he chastised him, he just turned away. He said, tell him to leave. He didn't even want to see him because he had criticized what Prabhupada considered a very wonderful devotee of Krishna who had done so much service in helping him spread this mission. That's all Prabhupada saw. He didn't see whether he was chanting, following, not following. He saw he's opened up temples. He's brought so many wonderful people to the temple. That's what a devotee sees in others. If you're seeing defects, you understand it's your defect. Huh? Unless it's your service to help bring, raise people. And it's all of our service to help everyone else. That's what Prabhupada did. And he wanted us to become like that. So then he sent the temple president. He made him leave. He didn't excommunicate him. He didn't ban him. He just wanted to let him know what he thought about his attitude. So then he sent him out. So now the sannyasi's there. I'm sitting off to the side. He said, Prabhupada, he said, it's true. His attitude was very... He was almost apologetic. He said, but Prabhupada said, it's true. He's not following. He said, everybody knows it. Prabhupada looked at him. He said, Arjuna wasn't chanting rounds. You know Arjuna? The battle of Kurukshetra? That Arjuna. Prabhupada said, he wasn't chanting rounds. He said, he was busy fighting a war. He said, he had no time to chant. He said, anyway, that's how you should see it. He's telling us what to do, how to act, how to deal with one another, how to help one another. Not kick somebody when they're down there. Get rid of this loser. Prabhupada didn't see losers. He saw winners. He looked at us and he saw everyone's a winner here because you're here. And I'm going to make you do something for Krishna. Whatever I have to do, I'm going to do that. So that you become Krishna conscious. It's very simple. It has nothing to do with buildings and hierarchies and managements. And it's you and your spiritual master. The parampara and Krishna. Everything is personal. I always say, Prabhupada saw that bead bag hanging. He said, who has left their beads crying? Crying. You have to be a person to cry, don't you? How can you cry? How can you have emotion? But that's what he said. Who's left their beads crying? Who left the prasadam on the table? Crying. Everything's crying for us to realize Krishna. Krishna's there. Krishna's there. This is what Prabhupada's showing us. We're forgetting Krishna in all his aspects. So we have some time left. Was there anything else? Anyone have any questions, comments, corrections? Or we can move to another
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Shri Prabhu, your graph is as usual very inspiring.
Hare Krishna.
So my question is, are we in the third generation? I'm in the second generation. So are the practical guidance, although we're going from five for the practical side, because in a nutshell, what we do keep us to us as practicality to fellowship and to provide through the instruction, and from there to build up our spiritual life.
Some practical instructions.
Practical instructions. That's what Prabhupada said, do something practical. Practical is as practical does. You have to serve. We associate with devotees. Prabhupada, the most important thing is your association. Just like I said, I associated with that sannyasi and I developed a desire. We develop our desires also by who we're associating with. We learn from who we associate with. Prabhupada said, no one should be alone. Should always have someone there that helps. Someone to associate with. Prabhupada always sent people out in twos or threes. So association. But Prabhupada's, it's very simple. The formula is we chant our rounds, we follow the principles, and help Prabhupada in this mission. The more you help him, the more you'll experience Prabhupada's presence. Second generation, first generation, third generation. I speak with people, they dream about Prabhupada. I told this the other day, I was saying he's second generation, 20 years in the temple. He heard two classes about Prabhupada. He dreamt about Prabhupada's lotus feet. He felt Prabhupada's feet. He said they were cool. So anyone, we do have his association. It is personal. You just have to have faith and realize it. He's doing everything. Yeah? Krishna's doing everything. Prabhupada's doing everything to help us. Just stay here where you are. Help 7,000 people come in here just to take darshan. And we get to live here. Yeah? They're spending all their money. I see people putting little coins in the hundis. You know, they're blessed by Prabhupada. Anything else? Preetu Prabhu?
I had a nice experience. A couple of days ago, I spoke to one devotee from the Sayana, who is reading Prabhupada's books very seriously. Since 30 years. And so he said, I was reading, and all of a sudden, Prabhupada started speaking to him. Prabhupada read to him. It's the same voice in his Bengali excellent. And he said, was amazed. He read, Prabhupada literally read for him what he was reading. And so I asked some other questions. He said, I had exactly the same experience with the Prabhupada's reading these books. I find this amazing, you know, that here are two books where actually 22 years back, Prabhupada left, 22 years later, they hear him actually speaking his own books simply because I seriously reached the Prabhupada's books.
Jai.
The Prabhupada.
Jai, Srila Prabhupada. He said, when he ever had a Damodar temple, when he did the first canto, he said, I didn't know whether I would be able to finish. He said, so I put everything in the first canto.
He said, everything you need, again, everything you need, he said, to be Krishna conscious is in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So yes, we just have to read. Oh, it's so important just to see how Prabhupada did things. He really wanted us to follow his example in everything we did. He was always training, just like you. I remember after his secretary had left, he had a secretary of the month with the GBC. Each GBC was spent 1 month with him. He wanted so much that they learned just by seeing him, seeing what he did, how he did it, how little he slept, how hard he worked, how he dealt with everyone. It was very important to know how to deal, just like how he dealt with his devotees in that situation. And of course, that temple president, he remained the temple president there at the manor. I mean, it's not like, Prabhupada was not one to change people either. You had a service. He expected you just remain there and improve, constantly improve. That was his idea. So if he saw a defect, was it? Okay, we'll change. Because obviously he saw so many defects in all of us. But that's not what he worked with. He didn't work with our defects. He worked with our abilities, what we could do. That's the expert spiritual master. One more quick question.
Hare Krishna.
Regarding this devotee who has said that the president is not chanting, he is not completing the Ram. So I could not understand the exact principle of what Prabhupada wants to say. The process is okay, but if something going wrong and we report Prabhupada like already, so he is informing him. So how in that case he is wrong, I don't understand.
It's how we it is the way they informed him. It was the different approaches the devotees had. Just like the same thing. We can find, you know, within management, under everyone, we make mistakes. It's what we do. But if our criticism comes from a place of trying to help someone, we call it constructive criticism. And that's what authorities are supposed to do. They also criticize. I always say, Prabhupada, when it was suggested for me to be temple president, he said, Shruta Kirti, he's too easygoing. Well, it means a manager is not an easygoing person because he has to deal with a lot of people who might be easygoing and just have to be pushed. So that's a manager's role. But it has to come from a place of love. Everything comes from that place. So that's why the only way to develop, the best way to develop, is to develop our love of Krishna. That's why Prabhupada said this is the greatest welfare work. If you're giving someone anything else, you're not helping them. The only way to help anyone is to give them Krishna. Prabhupada said, one is expert, he knows how to preach in a positive way so that the person is always satisfied, not disturbed. So if we disturb someone in our preaching, that's our defect, it's not theirs. You have to know how to approach individuals. Why? Everything's personal. So you have to know the person before you can do anything. Sometimes Prabhupada would just talk. We know, we have this famous story at the manor. He talked with the race car driver about internal combustion engines for 20 minutes. So all Prabhupada did was talk about cars. What's that have to do with Krishna consciousness? But he was just endearing himself to the person, understanding the person, knowing what to say to him. And if he did nothing else than make that person think, oh, he's a nice man. What a nice old man I just sat with. Imagine the progress he made. So we have to understand how to deal with each individual as Prabhupada did. And then we can be successful in our lives and we can help everyone else. That's all Prabhupada did. It's very simple. The process is simple. Whatever you have, you give it. And then you get more. If you don't give it, you're finished. You're not going to get any more. You have to give. Our process is one of giving. Always giving Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.